intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things
are working for my good.
'Cause she's intentional. Hey, and it's never failing. All things are working for my good.
He's intentional.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, empowerment, and encouragement. We thank you for signing on to several other things that you could be doing with your New Year's Eve. But I'd like to say a special thank you to all of our new listeners on today. Thank you for joining. Hopefully something is said or done to encourage you to keep striving and to keep thriving just a little bit further. Thank you so much to all of my old listeners, my committed listeners, those who've been hanging there with me from the very beginning. I appreciate you guys, and I definitely do keep you in my prayers. So today's show topic is New Year, New Me. Now, I know everybody makes that commitment, and people start making resolutions and all kind of stuff like that at the end of one year and getting ready to go into another year. But I think that today you'll be able to hear from another perspective exactly what New Year and New Me is all about. First and foremost, we do want to first bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us and keeping us. We thank you, God, for everyone that is connected to the show on today. We pray a special prayer, God, for those who have things up before you. I connect myself, God, to their petitions. Your word says, where two are gathered, there you are in the midst. And God, I set myself in agreement with them according to your word, that they should have the desires of their heart in the name of Jesus. We pray also, God, that you just be in the midst on the show on today, God, for every technical difficulty, for everything that the enemy has tried to throw at us on this morning, God. We stand against it in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood right now over everyone who's listening, over all of this equipment, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray now that you would have your way, oh God. Let something be said or done to encourage your people on today, oh God. In the name of Jesus, lift up bowed down heads, oh God. Heal the sick. Deliver those that need to be set free on today, oh God. Move by your spirit in this place, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bind the enemy on every hand. We pray, God, that your word come forth with clarity and understanding and power in the name of Jesus. We glorify you now. We give your name all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go with me in your Bibles. We're going to be coming from the book of Luke, the fifth chapter. And as we know, there are parallels with the book of Luke to Matthew, Mark, and John, and the stories are told very similarly, but they may be a little bit different, especially from one translation to another. So I am going to be reading on today from the New Living Translation. That's Luke, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. We're going to start down around the 33rd verse. I'm going to give you guys just a few seconds to get there. Pray that all is well with each of you on today. I know that the weather is pretty nice in some places, so I pray that all is going well for you. I know that here in Mississippi, the temperature's been kind of up and down, but generally speaking, probably around maybe 50-something So it's not so bad. No complaints. It's jacket weather. Can't go out there just completely willy-nilly, but it's jacket weather, so it's pretty nice. It's definitely not any snow on the ground or anything of that nature, so we are thankful on today. Looking at Luke, the fifth chapter, again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now, we know in the fifth chapter of Luke that, first and foremost, it starts to talk about the first disciples. These are the men who Jesus selected to walk with him and taught them about his will and his ways. Then Jesus heals a man who has leprosy. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Jesus calls Levi, who we know as Matthew. And then there begins to be a discussion which starts out about fasting. So looking at the 31st verse, the Bible reads, "One day, some people said to Jesus, 'John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking?' Jesus responded, 'Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.' Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment, for then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say." Amen. And our topic for today, again, is New Year, New Me. Now, the question was asked in verse 33 about fasting, because obviously some Pharisees and some followers of John were kind of monitoring the things that Jesus was doing, as it is always with us church folks. We're always watching what somebody else is doing. So when the question came, there was an indication that the disciples fasted and prayed often who followed John and who were a part of the Pharisees. But Jesus' disciples did eat and drink. Those who were about tradition were fasting as a custom. And they would whiten their faces and put ashes on their face so that everybody would know that they are fasting. They prayed at specific times of the day. It didn't matter where they were. It didn't matter what they were doing. But it was their custom, and it was their rule. But how many know that even if you do the right thing and you have impure motives, it doesn't do you any good? Now, we know that Jesus fasted and prayed, and he taught his disciples to do the same. But the issue of fasting and praying is only a topical question for a deeper issue. You know, it wasn't really about whether or not the disciples were fasting. That was just their gateway. And we know that often when people come at us, they try to use something as a gateway. So here it is. The real issue is that they didn't like Jesus' training method. There were set ways for how a rabbi should select his disciples and how he should train them. And the Pharisees and John the Baptist people, they followed tradition. Jesus, on the other hand, did not. So they were confused, they were curious, and often critical, as many traditional folks are today, watching and waiting for something to talk about, for something that you're not doing right. So Jesus first uses the parable of fasting at a wedding feast. And everybody knows, if you're fasting at a wedding, of course that's going to insult the bride and groom because it's the wrong time. A wedding isn't the time to be fasting. Fasting is a sign that a person is dissatisfied. Fasting is a sign that a person wants something more. It's a way of signifying an eschatological hope that God will restore righteousness and justice in the earth by sending the Messiah. For the disciples of Jesus, what they were hoping for in fasting, they already had. Jesus was right there with them. So that'll be like married folks praying for a spouse or single folks praying for freedom? Why are you praying for something that you already have? And this is what their understanding was at that time. So, now going on, Jesus' parable uses three examples, but there is one common message in all of these parables that were used to cause a paradigm shift. You know, people sometimes have to have a change in their mind before they realize that something is wrong. But we know that shift needs to happen, amen, in order for us to make changes in our lives. So the paradigm shift was for those to hear, but then to understand, amen. So if it's true that Jesus chooses sinners and society rejects, and train them to become his disciples. And old traditional methods will say, basically beat them down with the law, hit them over the head with the Ten Commandments. But thanks to God for grace and mercy. See, grace and mercy wants people to know that life with Jesus is full of joy. It's full of celebration. We shouldn't be spending all our time telling everybody what they do wrong if we're trying to get them saved. They already know what they're doing wrong. They've done some other stuff that you don't even know about. So stop spending your time trying to point out other folks' flaws. We need to stop putting on this front in front of people also, trying to impress them, because we want them to think that on the outside everything is going well with us. But on the inside, many of us are a stinking mess. We got all kinds of stuff going on, but we're putting on the show like those Pharisees and those followers of John the Baptist were doing, with wanting somebody to see, or you want it to appear that you're real deep and you're real holy and you're real spiritual. When on the inside, you got stuff going on just like everybody else. But we thank God that he has mercy on us. Now, the same is true with the example that Jesus used about putting new wine in old wineskins. Jesus points out the value in the old as well as the new. Because, see, we can't just get rid of everything new. That's not what Jesus came to do, to get rid of everything old. I'm sorry. He didn't come to just get rid of everything. However, let's look at this with these new wineskins. You can't use either one in a way that it shouldn't be used, first of all. That means that I can't operate in your gift, and you can't operate in my gift. That means that we both have our place, just like the traditional and just like the new. Why does Jesus need new wineskins? The answer is simple. Because he has new wine. God wants to do a new thing in you. See, teaching the Ten Commandments and memorizing the 23rd Psalm is still okay. But first you got to get them to the church. Both things are foundational. Having praise dancers, mimes, and having concerts at church is good. But when the music stops, folks need to have a word to stand on. There's a time and a place for both. Now, this pertains to the church. Now, what about us as individuals? Because we are talking about a new year and a new me, right? Okay. So let's stop trying to put old wine in a new wineskin. We've come to a time when we need to stop wasting time and energy trying to impress people with the outside. We buy all kind of weave, and we buy all kind of nails, and we buy body parts nowadays, thanks to God. We go and buy the finest cars and have the nicest houses. And when we get to the church, we're hollering amen the loudest. But the truth is, we've got some things going on inside of us. We're going into a new year, came the outside of an old raggedy hootie. We're going into a new year, landscaping the outside of a filthy, dirty shack. We're going into a new year, mad at God, because we had some trials and some tribulations in 2016. And we think things are going to magically change because we roll over in 1201 into 2017 because we have a new wineskin. But it's time out for cleaning the outside only. It's time out for fixing stuff up and making it look like everything is all right. Change your perspective. It's time out for criticizing everybody else because we're miserable with our own lives. And we can't figure out why they seem to have everything that we don't. It's not going to do us any good to say goodbye to the old year in the same nasty ways, judgmental ways, hypocritical ways, cross over into the new year with us. It's time for us to stop being so set in our ways that nobody else's method can be right. It's our way or no way, because we know everything, right? It's time to stop sitting at home on a Sunday morning because you're mad at God because the preacher said something that you didn't like the last time you went to church 5 years ago. It's time to stop shutting down and shutting out the people who want to love you because you're still upset about what somebody else did that had nothing to do with them. Something that happened to you years ago is still affecting you to this day, where you refuse to love or refuse to allow anybody else to love you. Recognize that everything that we went through, saints of God, good or bad, is working for our good. Not only is it my intro music and my theme song, but I believe it and it's true. Romans 8:28 says all things are working together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So everything that you went through, it happened for a reason. It's made you the person that you are today. It's made you a stronger, better, wiser you. But it doesn't mean for you to sit back and let those wounds fester. It means that you learn from it and you move on. It's time for us to change our minds. We need to change our attitude and a lot of our habits and behaviors. We are not always right. What are we committing to do differently? What do you want to do differently? Do we want to study more? Do we want to pray more? Do we want to be at church and be actively engaged more? Do we want to be able to give and receive more love? Do we want to tithe more? Sow more? Or are you okay with just warming the pew? Are you okay with just judging everybody else and watching what everybody else has on when they walk in the church? Are you okay with that? Don't you want this new year to truly be a new you? What would actually happen if we spent more time trying to serve others rather than just being served? Because we like for people to serve us. Well, what would happen if we actually took on the role of a servant, as did Jesus? What would happen if we stopped trying to make a name for ourselves and you just serve God's people and serve with a spirit of excellence? I don't have to do it. What would actually happen? What would actually happen if you stop drawing people's attention to you when you're trying to get somebody saved and actually point them toward Jesus? But for some reason, we like for folks to come back and depend on us. In going into this new year, there are some things that we simply need to say no to. Of course, we need to say no to Satan. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So that means we also need to say no to sin. We need to yield not to temptation. But there are some things about our flesh, and we talk about it often from Galatians 5. That bitterness, that anger, that's your flesh. Complaining all the time. That's your flesh. And guess what? Nobody wants to be around a bitter, angry, complaining person. You may be sitting there wondering why you by yourself. You may be sitting there wondering why the people that you thought you should be close to, like family members or children or so-called friends, or even a significant other, they're always in one room with you and another. Maybe you should check your flesh. And we definitely need to say no to being lukewarm. We can't be bouncing back and forth. Either you're hot or you're cold. Now, in our saying no, there are also some things that we need to say yes to. We've got to say yes to holiness. Holiness is still right. All of those old traditions that the quote-unquote old folks were talking about are not wrong. Those things are foundational. We build on those things. Holiness is still right. Young ladies still should not be walking around with body parts hanging out. Young men still shouldn't be walking around with tight pants on and saying that you're a husband and you're a father, but you're not taking care of your family. Your woman is bringing home the bacon and then having the cookies because you don't want to get off the couch. the traditional things that we learn from the older people are still true. We need to say yes to growth. We need to say yes to change. Don't be so stubborn that you still stuck on your old wine and your old wine skin because you just know that that's the right way and the only way. There's a time and a place for everything. We need to say yes to sanctification. God set us aside for a reason. And if you are unique and if you are different and if you stand out from the rest of the crowd, that's who God made you to be. Be who God called you to be. The word sanctified used to be a joke. But when you learn what it means, praise God, you really don't mind. It means that you're set apart. It means that they can't talk to you like they talk to everybody else. They can't treat you like they treat everybody else because there's something different about you. The anointing of God causes a glow. The anointing of God causes them to respect you. The anointing of God causes you to look different, talk different, walk different, act different. You can't just go take everything off the rack and wear it because everybody else can. Just because it comes in your size does not mean that that's what God meant for you. You can't just do the same things everybody else does. Sanctification is really all right. It's what he meant for us. See, when it comes to the gifts, then we're okay when it's blessings and favor. But we don't like it when it comes with correction. We like the favor. We like the blessing. But that same correction that comes with holiness and sanctification, we don't want to hear about it. We say that's old and fogy. We say those are the old ways. We say that's what old people do. Oh, no, but the Bible hasn't changed. And the other thing that we need to say yes to is gratitude. Some of us are not grateful for anything. When will we be grateful for what we have? When will we be grateful to God for what he's already done? When will we stop treating him like a Santa Claus and acting like all his job is to gimme, gimme, gimme? But you can't hear God suddenly when he's telling you, no, don't do that. No, don't say that. No, stop acting like that. Don't treat people like that. We don't hear him then. But oh, when he's showering out the blessings. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the king. Look what God did. The same God that blessed you is the same God that's correcting you, only you don't want to hear it because you're looking at the vessel. What's on the inside does directly affect your outside. Think for a moment about the most beautiful model that you can imagine. Think for a moment. Beautiful. She looks like she's floating across the stage. However, when she steps down off the stage and she's talking nasty to people and she's got a bad attitude, it changes your whole perspective about her. It makes you turn up your nose and give it a side eye. I'm like, wait a minute now. Guess what? Don't you know that's what some people see and they think about us? They have this image of this holy person. They have this image of this person who walks upright before the Lord. And then with some of us, we open our mouths and they're like, whoa, ooh, she evil. Ooh, she mean. Ooh, she cussing everybody out. It doesn't go together. The inside and the outside need to match people of God. And you've heard it said before, if you're ugly inside, you're ugly outside. So it doesn't matter if you're normally up on a runway. It doesn't matter if you think you got it going on the outside. That's the stuff that people can see. Don't be all dressed up for New Year's Eve and have a stinking, festering, bleeding wound on the inside. You're just all dressed up. But change your perspective. It's time for us to bring some order into our lives. Being in order produces purpose. Being in order brings protection, and it also brings productivity. When you don't know what it is that you're called to do, you just kind of don't know what to do with yourself. When you don't know what you're called to do and you're not walking in the purpose that God called you for, you don't even really have protection because you're out from under the umbrella of the anointing of God. There's a purpose in being in order. And order begins with the word of God. Or are you content with the church that you've been attending just because it's your traditional church and it's where you've been going and it's where all of your family members go? Even if there is no word. Even if nobody's growing in grace. You can't just go there because that's where everybody else is going. It doesn't matter if that's the church where your mama goes. It might be what your mama needs. You may need something different. If you see that you're not growing, you need a church that's going to help you to grow and develop in the Word of God. You need a church that's going to keep you encouraged. You need to be challenged. You need activity. And I'm sorry, but if you're a pastor that's listening, and you're a pastor of one of those dead churches that I'm talking about where nobody is growing, the Bible says that everything that's dead needs to be buried. It's time for some of us preachers to come up too. We need to grow in grace also. It's not about your title. It's not about how long you've been doing what you're doing. But there comes a time for change. There comes a time for growth. There comes a time for development. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're somewhere where you're not getting the word of God, you're not growing. If you're somewhere where it's all about entertainment, you're not growing. And on the other hand, if you're somewhere where you're getting the word and that's just it and you need more, some of us need to hear a choir also. Some of us need to see some different things like a singles ministry and a marriage ministry, a praise team. Many of us need all of those things. If you're at a place in your life right now getting ready to go into this new year, and you know you have some questions, your answer is in Jesus. If you have a need, don't go out there trying to hustle to get it. Your answer is in Jesus. If you have a void, don't fill it up with your next boo. Fill it up with Jesus. Because the boo ain't going to last if you ain't got Jesus. If you're a person who right now is in need of some peace, if you're in need of some love, some hope, some joy, it's all in Jesus. It's not in a self-help book. Many of us need to get beyond the mindset that we need to change the outside without changing the inside. Our lives need to be different. Don't go or get beyond changing one without the other. It's time that the inside and the outside are matching. If you're looking for success in the coming year, God's way is the right way. And we need to understand that there are some foundational laws, even when we're trying to be successful. And you might say, well, you know, it's my ministry, it's my calling, it's my this, it's my that. There are 7 laws that we need to look at in going into this new year. The first one is the law of difference. You need to labor to understand the significance of being different. See, the ministry doesn't need everybody to be doing the same thing at the same time all the time. If you're different, that's what you're supposed to be doing. What problems can you solve? What methods do you utilize? Yeah, there's a lot of comfort in being the same and blending into the crowd. But the difference brings the reward. There's no reward in being just like everybody else, other than them same jokers patting you on the back because you're just as miserable as they are.
But what has God put inside of you that's different? What has God put inside of you that stands out? The next law is the law of the mind. If you're going to succeed in life, you need to first succeed in your mind. Think about it. Why do we have more clothes than we have books? You should be feeding your mind. But instead, we feed our closet. We got more shoes and clothes than the law allows. But I bet you if you go through your house and count the books, there may be a variation. Feed your mind. Why do we watch more TV than we read our words? We need to feed our mind. Your mind needs instruction. It needs you to tell it what to concentrate on. What are you feeding your mind? Is it junk? Is it gossip? What are you feeding your mind? Because God is not going to pour new ideas into an old mindset. If you feel about some foolishness, he's not fixing to give you some new inventive idea. You got to be thinking toward him. Because, see, if you're still in your old mindset, you don't even know what to do with it. You won't even recognize it. But when you begin to make a change and begin to focus on God, God will show you new things and give you witty ideas and inventions. He'll show you new marketing strategies. He'll show you new ways to do the same things that other people are doing. But you got to get your mind right. And you're not going to get new results with old behaviors. You can't keep doing the same old thing expecting something different to happen. Don't make resolutions for the new year. Reflect on where you've been and embrace the new direction that God wants to take you in. Embrace the change. Don't be like those Pharisees and those followers of John, sitting back watching and trying to criticize. Next is the law of recognition. There are some things and some people that are close to you that you don't even recognize their value. We need to learn to recognize the value in the things and the people around us. Sometimes we just get so used to seeing them. Sometimes we just get so used to the same old, same old. But there is value in people and things that are right up under your nose. There are some things also that are close to you and some people that are close to you that you don't recognize are hurting you. We need to learn to recognize. We need to learn to discern. We need to learn to see with our spiritual eyes and not just with our natural eyes. We have to come away from our old paradigm and let God do that new thing in us. We don't know everything. Let him show you, though. He will show you. Everything that you really want is already close to you, but you can't see it because you're not looking with your spiritual eyes. But ask God to help you to see before Saul changed over to Paul. God had to help him to see. Now, if you want to call into the show, the number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We definitely want to hear from you all today. Let's call and talk about your year. Give us your testimonies. We want to hear how God has blessed you and some of the things that God has shown you in going into the new year. This is your opportunity to call. Now, the next law is the law of two. Two simply represents agreement. Two is the beginning of recreation. Because there is power in agreement. The Bible says two are better than one. Two can put 10,000 to flight. One may say it's 1,000. But when you have somebody in agreement with you, in relationship with you, you can do even more. There are some people that God wants you to connect with. There are some people that God wants you to network with. And it doesn't mean go beat door and tell them, hey, I got a new project. But God will show you who it is that you need to connect with to be in agreement with you. Even if it's just to pray with you, God will show you who you need to connect with, because you can't tell everybody about your business idea. You can't tell everybody about your next career move in advance. Everybody can't handle it. But when God shows you who it is, you make that connection as he leads you. There's the law of place. Because, see, you don't belong everywhere, but you do belong somewhere. Abraham had to leave his family for God to bless him. He didn't even know where exactly God was going to send him. But he knew he had to be obedient. We have to just obey God and go where he wants us to go. There is a law of place. And you don't want to go where you just tolerate it. You want to go where you're celebrated. So whether that's church, a job, or some of the folks that you may or may not hang out with tonight. Because I already know some people don't have church. So don't pretend that you're going down to that club tonight to be a witness. And you got your Giddy Girl shoes on. God has designated a certain place for all of us to be. God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, and there was a widow woman who was going to feed him there. The blessing was in the place. We have to get to that place. Wherever there is for you. Where is there for you? Has God shown you where it is that you're supposed to worship? Has God shown you where it is that you're supposed to live? Has God shown you where it is that you're supposed to be even on tonight? But see, we have to ask God about the little things. For some of us, he told us to stay at home. I'm one of them. But we all have to get to the place called there. Wherever there is for you. You need to get to that place because your blessing is already there and waiting on you. There is the law of honor. Your future is affected by whom it is that you choose to honor. The Bible says honor brings access. How do I know? Honor your mother and father in the Lord. It don't say if they're a good mother. It don't say if they're a good father. But it says honor them. Because that will cause your days to be long on the land. You just give them honor. Let God deal with whether or not you think they're right or wrong. You're supposed to give honor to whom honor is due. How is it that you know whether or not you're honoring your pastor? Because you begin to adapt. Adaptation is the proof of honor. When you want to know if you really honor somebody or you're honoring your boss when you go to your job, because they are the boss. Well, she thinks she know more than me. I got just as much education as he's got. No, you know if you're honoring the person that's over you by you adapting. Do what they tell you to do. But we spend so much time doing other things when we're supposed to be at work. We're not adapting to what they ask us to do. We're not honoring them. But I will tell you that honor gives you access. So sometimes you don't always have to agree with their methodologies. But if you just follow the processes that the job requires and do it with a spirit of excellence and be humble, God will promote you. God will move you into something else. God will give you what you need. You're not going to get there by talking about them. Adaptation is the proof of your honor. You come to the church and you know more than the pastor. And you may have been preaching longer than him. But adapt to his request. Adjust to the things that he has asked you to do. He's not asking you to do anything outside of God. You just adapt. And God will elevate you. Just be humble. Do what they ask you to do. Prisons are full of people who didn't know how to give honor. Think about it. That's why they're breaking in folks' houses. Because they didn't realize the law of honor. I should have honor and respect for somebody else's home. I shouldn't be in here taking things that don't belong to me. I shouldn't be at this bank taking money that doesn't belong to me. I need to go out and earn my own. They're full of people who don't know how to give honor. Our country needs to honor God. We're going into an entirely new phase with a new president. We need to be honoring God. We're not respecting the laws of God. We want to do our own thing, and then when things go wrong, we want to run back to God. But see, honor protects you. Yes, honor corrects you. Honor also shields you. When you honor somebody, you'll also submit and you'll listen. Remember that honor is a seed. And that seed will last a lifetime. See, I don't always have to walk into a church and give my spiritual resume. I just give the honor to whom honor is due. I'm humble. I don't need to walk in the door and tell anybody how long I've been preaching. Now, if it's Acts, that's different. I don't need to walk in the door and say, well, I've been a pastor already. I don't need to walk in saying that. If the opportunity comes up, then so be it. But you walk in and be who God calls you to be. But be humble. Whether or not you honor someone also shows in your reaction. When they start talking to you, you rolling your eyes, here we go again. Or your reactions will show whether or not you honor your parents. They tell you something, you go in the other room and try to roll your eyes. Or you stomp off trying to do something else. You can tell me all day long that you honor me. You can tell me all day long that you love me. But your reaction will say far more than your words. Honor will show in your relationships. And when you're dealing with people, husbands, wives, children. If you honor your spouse, then he doesn't have to worry about you cheating on him. If you honor your wife, she doesn't have to worry about whether or not you're going to go out, work hard, bring home the bacon, and she gets the fried up. If you honor, it will show in your reactions. And then there is the law of the seed. We talk very often about seeds, but we forget sometimes the importance of a seed. And especially going into this new year, we may talk about all kinds of seeds, sowing financial seeds. But don't you know words are seeds too? And don't you know that whatever you put in will come up multiplied? So whether it's money or whether it's the words that you're speaking to your children and your family members, words are a seed also. So you need to decide to put in the ground what it is that you want to get back. We have to learn soul wait. I say very often in church, if you have a need, sow a seed. Whatever it is that you want, if you want more love, sow more love. Encourage your children. Love on them. Talk to them affectionately. Nobody wants to hear you say, you ain't gonna never be. Because guess what? When that thing comes back on you multiplied, that's what they're gonna be saying to you. Well, you weren't no kind of daddy anyway. You weren't no kind of mom anyway. You didn't do this for me. You didn't do that for me. But if you sow love into them, you get that same love right back. Now, I'm not going to take this as an opportunity to talk about my children again, because I'm sure they're saying, I always do. But I can say that that love is a seed that I see, whether I'm with them in person or whether we're just talking on the phone. I don't ever doubt if my children love me. That's what I sowed into them. And God knows it's come back multiplied. They're full of hugs and joy and laughter. And I'm not saying that everything about their lives is perfect. But I am saying that that's one way my children, for me, are a great example for me to see the benefit in sowing love. The benefit in giving hugs. The benefit of speaking positively. I see it in my children. We have to learn how to replace our old patterns with new ones. And it's not just the flavor of the day. It's not just a temporary thing. But we need to learn how to talk to people. Because if you want peace, love, and joy, those are the types of things that you need to be sowing into other people. You want somebody to give you affection? Give them affection. You want somebody to talk kind to you? You talk kind. It's a seed. The words that we say are seeds. And I say very often, the Bible says in the book of James, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can speak death or you can speak life into your situation, into your children, into your finances. You have the power in what you say. So make sure that the seeds that we're sowing in this coming year are positive seeds. We first have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So don't worry. Don't strain trying to get results. All you have to do is just sow the seeds. You don't need to establish any unrealistic time frames either, because the one thing about seeds is they take time. So that needs to be something you're consistently doing, just like with a farmer, just like with a garden. You're not going to see the results right away. Some things come up faster than others. So make sure that you're not sowing those negative words, because you'll see those back right quick. But you just sow. Your job is just to sow. When you're sowing into a ministry, sowing into someone's business, you just sow. And then God will give the increase. God will multiply it. You just bring all your tithes into the storehouse and see what God pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive. Don't be somewhere sucking up all the word and getting in all the prayer lines that you're not sowing and you're not tithing. That's unfair. But the word of God says if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And if you sow sparingly, you're also going to reap sparingly. The seed and harvest expectation requires, the seed and harvest equation requires an expectation. What are you expecting to come up from this? So like I said, if you want something from God, that's what you need to be showing, sowing. It's an equation. Because what you put in will come up, but it comes up multiplied. You have to know that when you come to God, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you put it in the ground, go back and put some water on it. So don't just be nice at work on Monday. You need to be nice at work on Tuesday. You need to be nice on Wednesday. You need to be nice on Thursday. And let's not leave out Friday. We get a little wretched on Fridays. But God is a rewarder. When you're diligent and you're seeking something from God, expect the reward to come from Him. Don't start looking at the people. They ain't never gave me nothing. That's not where your reward comes from. When God blesses you, the way that you get your reward may be totally different. Just know that He's going to do it. I don't care if you have to write it on the envelope when you put money in church. I don't care if you have to tell your children, I'm sowing into you, I'm speaking peace over you, and I expect peace back. I'm sowing love into you, and I expect love back. And then have faith on top of it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But your expectation decides what you reap. If you're not expecting anything, oh, that's what you're going to get. But if you're expecting in a mighty move of God, if you're expecting a blessing in your finances, if you're expecting a blessing in your health, that's exactly what you're going to get. Your expectation will decide exactly what you reap. Let's make a new confession going into this new year. Not a resolution, but a confession. Because again, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Confess with me on today. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. Confess that I have the mind of Christ. Let your confession be that I have released old unproductive thoughts and let them go. Let your confession be, I change my thinking right now in Jesus' name from lack to plenty, from illness to health, from the old me to the new me. Let your confession be on today, I joyfully welcome new ideas from Christ because I have the mind of Christ. Let your confession be, I am transformed in Jesus' name. It is so. I am loved. I am at peace. I have joy. Change your confession. Before you go into the new year, don't make a resolution, but make a confession that you are going to change from the inside out. Make a confession that in 2017, you want God to work on you. It's not about everybody else. I thank you all so much for joining. I appreciate every one of you. And if you would like to donate to Eve's Corner, you may donate to Campbell Ministries by going to my website, campbellministries.com, and clicking on the donate button. If not, you can also write to us and or send your donations through the mail. And that address is P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. Once the show is over, if you'd like to go back and hear other archive shows, you can also find those on campbellministries.com. Thank you all again for listening. I pray that God blesses you in the coming year. I pray that God gives you the desires of your heart. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer.